It's episode 50. Not to 50. It's episode 50 of Thomas and the Bible. Pretty sweet. I want to say thanks to the two people. Well, everyone who's reviewed my podcast on iTunes, thank you very much. And the last couple people just today and yesterday, I think, did. Very nice. Thanks so much. Continue, please. Continue to review it. I think it's really helping. Got some good 5-star ratings on there. Got, you know, get it, come up in search results and keep growing. Keeps getting bigger every week. So that's pretty cool. Joshua is, I'm liking it. My prayers have been answered. The reading is so much better than shitty Moses. Like things, let me try to explain this to you. It's going to be, took me a while to grasp this, but in Joshua, there are people, okay? And they're like doing things. They are doing things that have material consequences and stuff. And things happen and actions occur. I don't know. I'm trying to explain this best I can. It's a little weird. And it's a little weird coming off of Deuteronomy. Like, hard to, gonna get the bends. But, no, really, I'm being serious. Like, in this reading, there are humans, and they go and they perform actions. Instead of, I know you used to think that all anyone could do, and I thought this too. I got to the point where I thought all anyone could ever do was just repeat themselves over and over and just say things, because I've got so haunted by reading Moses, just say things over and over and over and over and over. But it's pretty cool to know that, things can't actually be done by people. So I you may be skeptical, I understand, but, let's read and we'll see. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went, and they came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. See, right away. Coincidence that they came first to a harlot's house? Like, they go back. Hey, why did you guys, I'm just curious, why did you end up at a harlot's house anyway? Oh, it's just the nearest, the first house we saw. We didn't even know, from the outside, it just looked like a normal house. So just thought, just first one we saw. So we just walked in. We didn't know there was a harlot there, and there was a harlot house. So we just, it was that one, first one. But isn't it literally across the entire city, like as far away from here as it gets? Isn't that? Oh, sure, yeah. If you were taking a direct path, sure. But Joshua did say spy secretly, and we're spies, so we had to be evasive and take a different course, which is why from the way we went, the harlot's house that we didn't know was a harlot's house, the house was closer, so that's it. That's all. That's how it went down. Was it a harlot's house, by the way? Do we say that? Oh, yeah, okay, we said that. I couldn't remember if we said that or not. Yeah, okay, I suppose it was, now that I think about it. Yeah, it was a harlot's house. We hadn't thought about that, but yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that could go on for hours, but I'm sure that's how it went. So right away, something happened. Things happened. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither of tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." So, nice job on the secrecy thing, fellas. That's good. It was their one task, and it's instantly they didn't do it right away. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." I just realized I'm on the verse by verse one here, which is going to be kind of slow. Let me click over. And the woman took the two men, and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly. Go get them, for you shall overtake them, she's saying. She's lying. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued them after were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Why? So how in the world does she know that? That's what she was telling them. Like, I know the Lord is giving you this land, and we're all dead, basically, is what she just said. Why does she accept the Lord as an authority, exactly? I wonder. So whatever the Lord did to make it so she accepts him as an authority, even though she lives in another city that is apparently an enemy city, whatever the Lord did for her, try that, but for everyone in the whole world. And then you don't have to do this weird, you know, massacring cities for your chosen people. Hey, God, here's a novel idea. How about all people be your chosen people? I know that sounds really, that's really corny, like really, really overly positive. But how about it? How about you just make everybody your chosen people? You know, why choose? Just say, I can't choose. You're all my people. For we have heard how the Lord. This is the woman going on. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out. Or at least we heard that you said that. And yeah, we'll just take your word for it. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And the two spies are giving each other looks like, yeah, remember that? That was us, wasn't it? Oh, massacring. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shewed you kindness, that ye will also shew kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye may save, and that ye will save my father alive, and my mother, and my brethren and my sistren. There's brethren and sisters, but there should be sistren, don't you think? Brethren and my sistren, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. I don't know why that made me laugh. Like, deliver our lives from death. That's an interesting way of phrasing it. Not my Uncle Ted, though. That guy's a douche. He's, go ahead and, he can just be in the killings. You know, just don't, you're just going to have to, I want sort of the other family that lives in that house. So you guys are just going to have to tell them that you're not killing everybody, and that the uncle just needs to stay. And then you can, in fact, just kill him. Cause I don't really care for him. So except for him, everybody else, save my whole family, except that guy. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the... Jeez, the phrasing just seems... You know what? I think I'm just used to Moses' cadence and stuff, and Joshua's just different, because I keep getting thrown off by the way the sentences are going. It's interesting. For her house was upon a town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, she said, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. That's interesting. So the pursuer, it seemed like it was just a couple guys pursuing him, but I guess it's a pretty small area and they need to hide out. Weird. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, When we come into this land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou did let us out by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, and all thy father's household, except your shitty Uncle Ted, home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. That's funny. I didn't notice that the first time, just the irony of it. Like, he's saying, you know, if any of your family goes outside, we're going to kill him, and it won't be our fault, because we're telling you to stay in here. And I just love the phrasing, like, if any of them go outside, then his blood is on his head. Like, yeah, he shouldn't have gone outside. Duh, naturally, you'd just be murdered. Like, your fault, you know? It's not our fault. Don't go outside. You won't get murdered. Simple as that. Yeah, that's funny. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. On to Joshua 3. And Joshua... yeah, restart. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim. I don't know if that's just describing their early morning BM or what that means, but they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and I, you and it, and it will be a Dave Matthews song from roughly the year 2000. I foresee it. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know by the way, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. I do like that word. That's one. That's probably the best part of the Bible so far. Heretofore. All one word. Heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Taking a turn for the Moses there. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Oh, the Lord's saying that. Yeah, okay. It's weird. I thought Joshua was talking for some reason. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth... Oh, that one. Okay, cool. Because when he said the Lord, I didn't know. I wasn't sure. Like, the Lord... Oh, is it the Lord of half the earth? Is that the one? Is he talking about the other one? There's another one I can't remember. Oh, Lord of all the earth. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. So he's gonna sort of do a parting the Red Sea thing, except parting the Red Jordan. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. Yeah. And as they bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the Sea of Plain, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan. Or at least that's what they said. You know, they said that the river just stopped and dried up and there was a path. And I'm inclined to believe it. I don't know. What are the odds are that it's probably true, right? Yeah, it's probably true. It said all that in the end of the reading there. Chapter 4. That one was just a little quickie. Chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God, into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? I love that. Let me just stop there. Yeah, because their children will just be constantly roaming around strange parts of the land, And be incredibly alarmed at a little pile of stupid stones. Like, whoa! We were wandering out around the Jordan and we saw a pile of rocks! Father, what mean you by these stones? I mean, I know logically that you're the only person who would have touched them. So why did you put them there? like that's gonna happen. I must know. Tell me right now. Yeah. They'll probably see and say, someone piled a pile of rocks. Interesting. I don't care, and I'm going to continue doing what I was doing. That's more like the kid response, I would think. Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial, for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. As the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. You know, the great thing about kids, too, is if this did work, they probably will ask obnoxious but, like, surprisingly relevant questions, like, wait, so did you use the stones to stop the water? No. See, God stopped the water. He just told us to pick up these stones and just place them on the ground in that fashion. Oh, so God used the stones to stop the water then? No. No one used the stones. He just had us put them there to remember that we crossed the river and all that. Oh, but wouldn't the fact that our whole society now lives on this side of the river because, you know, we violently took it over, wouldn't that be enough to remind everyone that we crossed the river? I mean, wouldn't we have had to cross it to get here? Well, sure, but it's sort of a gesture. It's really cool. So it's nice to have in situations like these to have a pile of stones to remind us of this kind of thing. Oh, okay. Oh, well, anyway, we moved all those stones around just because we were playing with them and they're gone now. But I just want to let you know, I don't know if that matters. Like, anyway. What is putting a pile of stones? Why does God do stuff like that? Is there a reason? put a pile of stones there and you'll always remember. It's like, I don't know, I just don't think, if I built a god, he would not do that kind of thing. It just doesn't, not sure what anyone gets out of that. And Joshua set up, I think I already read that, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the middle, yeah, they're just holding, hello everyone, we're holding an ark here in the middle of the river. Could you, anytime you guys want to be done with your little rock game, go ahead and we can put down this ark, because it's a little heavy. It's a little heavy. Where was I? According to all that Moses commanded, Joshua and the people hasted passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the Lord, children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. I think Joshua wrote that line. And the Lord, actually nobody feared Joshua, they didn't even care about him, but he had control over the Bible, so now we think he was feared. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Wow, that God, he is so neat, you know? He's just neato. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal in a rousing game of baseball. And he spake, rock ball. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? As they inevitably will, as all children do when they come across a pile of stones in the random place that no one's ever going to see. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over. And the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. That's the end of that chapter. These are some short chapters, but got a couple more. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over. That's interesting. This is the first time I've ever noticed this. It says, the Bible says, until we were passed over. It's weird. It's never been like in first person before as one of the... It's interesting. I think you can really tell that someone else wrote this part. It's funny. Just interesting. From before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Melted, that like they're in love with them or something. Like, oh man, they are so cool. Oh, I love them. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. They were just too enamored with them. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Wow. Circumcise me once, shame on you. Circumcise me a second time. Shame on my penis. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the Hill of the Foreskins. Conveniently named Hill of the Foreskins. That's interesting. That's God. That's God for you. He had somebody name that hill already, The Hill of the Foreskins. And at the time, they were like, why did I just name this hill the Hill of the Foreskins? I don't know. Weird. I don't even... Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. And then years go by, and then we find out there's a pile of foreskins on it. So now it all makes sense. His prophecy is fulfilled. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. Listen up. This is why he circumcised. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt, which I say all the time. They're all dead. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not shew them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. This is just awesome. I just love the image. Well, I don't know if I love it, but I do. It might seem weird, but I love the image of 40,000 soldiers, like, all ready for battle in their gear. And they're just like, oh, we're gonna fight. And then Joshua's like, wait a minute. There's just one thing we need to do. We just forgot to do real quick. And then we'll be off to the battle. People are like, oh, what? A battle cry or something? Yeah, let's do that. Sure. Joshua's like, well, not exactly that, but close. Close to a battle cry. There will be a cry and probably a battle. Not in that order. Well, maybe in that order, actually. Or both. I don't know. Might be more cries than battle. You'll see. Smash cut to 40,000 soldiers working on each other's penises. Oh, man. How awesome would it have been if the other army had planned like a surprise attack, you know? And they're like, all right, guys, they're just over that hill. They're going to surprise us. We're going to surprise them first. And they're just, okay, now everybody, now we just charge at them and just go get them no matter what, you know? You just got to charge. Ah, oh my God, what are you doing? Oh my, what is going on? Shit, they're... Israelites say, shit, that's the other army. That's the other, wait, we're not ready. Hold on. Just give us a minute. We'll be there. I promise we'll make it to this battle. We'll be there. We're not ready yet. we're still prepping. It's like, okay. Normally I'd say we just surprise attack you, but we'll go ahead. We'll wait. We're going to go just back over that hill there, we'll probably be vomiting for a little bit, but after that, I guess we can do war if you want. We can do battle. I think getting my eyes gouged out would be a pleasant sight after that, or pleasant thing after that. So yeah, all right. So anyway, I don't know, 3 o'clock, does that work? Oh, God. What do you guys... You know what? I don't want to know. Would have been awesome. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Once again, there were several days of just like, oh, I am not... Please tell me we're not. I know it's been 4 days, but the war is not happening yet, right? Because there's just no way. There's no way I can do it. I can't. Why? My foreskin was fine. It was a little smelly sometimes. A little, required some extra washing. But I don't believe it was doing anything to deserve this. I really don't. You know, that went on for ages. I couldn't imagine being happy about getting circumcised, even if you thought God, you know, at an older age back then, when even if you thought God was telling you to, like, I couldn't imagine that ever being a happy time. Like, That's gotta be pretty bad. Where was I? And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow, after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn on the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And like you would do, just because... Yeah, so apparently Joshua knows every face of all 40,000 soldiers, plus any number of other possible Israelites it could be. Like, he knows, though. He's like, wait a minute. I have not seen that guy before. He, who is this strange man? Is he part of our army, or... But, like, wouldn't he just be doing that all the time? Like, wait. Who is that? Oh, that's Jenkins, sir. He's part of our army. That's the seventh time you've asked me that. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Who's that? That's him again, sir. Oh, yeah. Changed his clothes. No, he hasn't. It's a little weird that he just knows. Like, you're not one of my hundreds of thousands of people that I just know. Anyway, and he said, Nay. But as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It's a pretty badass ending to a chapter. Chapter 5, I gotta say. I think Joshua is so much better than Moses. He's like, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. It's like an action movie. Dun, 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 dun. End of chapter. Because he asks him a question. He's like, oh, what is the Lord? What does he want? You know, like, and of course, the angel or whoever this is too cool to answer. He can't answer a direct question. That would be too cool. Or that wouldn't be cool. You got to go, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Bah, nah, 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 bah. I don't know why. Just had that feel to me. I know. Now Jericho, none of that, believe it or not, none of that little rant was actually in the Bible. I actually thought of all that just now. There wasn't even a da-na-na-na-na. Like, I seriously just came up with that. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. And Joshua's like, wait, can you, I'm just trying to find it. This pen's out of ink. I need a pen. So, all these numbers. So, he said, there's gonna be seven of us, and we're marching, five times, but then on Tuesday, nine times, clockwise, counterclock, 9 times. Like, what's with all these stupid number? And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord, and let him who is without arm cast the first ark. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The ark followed them by itself? That's amazing. like crawls off. And the armed men went, as opposed to the no armed men, the armed men went before the priest. There's very few people that have arms in the Israelites. There's most of them are unarmed, non-armed men. So the very few armed ones they had went before the priest that blew with the trumpets. And the re-reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout." Sounds like a song. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it. So they're just carrying this stupid ark about the city several times, like six times a day for some reason. It was really weird. And Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, an odd number of ram's horns. That's got to be annoying. Like, did they leave one horn, like, on a ram? Like, we only need seven. You can have this. You can keep one of your horns. Before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the re-reward came out. Did I read that already? Or is this just repeating itself? Is this just pulling a Moses? But the re-reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. The people inside must have been like, "What the hell are they doing out there? Can't they just kill us already? Just kill us. We just take us over. Why all this just marching around the wall and, you know, 7 times, 6 times?" Not to mention the trumpets. I can't even get any sleep these days. At least if I'm going to be annihilated, I'd like to get some sleep before. You know, I don't want to be tired when I'm annihilated. That's annoying. Could you just not, guys? Could you? And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take out of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it, but all the silver and gold and vessels and brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the sound of people shouted with great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Whew! Those must have been the worst walls any city has ever built, ever. If all you had to do is yell at them and they just fall over. It's pretty bad. It's bad craftsmanship. Bad carpentry. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. Whew, wow, the Bible sure made short work of describing that part. And they killed every single thing that ever lived. Like, the end. Not worth going into at this point, you know, like, just to sum up, the Bible is saying, just to sum up, they murdered everything. Like, just, there's probably some details in there, but I just not, what? Well, it's split hairs. They just killed everything. Everything's dead. No word about, like, how anyone felt about just murdering innocent people or anything like that, or if anyone had a problem with it. No, they just killed everyone. But Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence a woman and all that she hath." Spies are like, "Yeah, just you know, it's probably going to take a while. I think she has a lot of stuff. We'll be in the harlot's house. Just give us 15 minutes in there. I think she has a lot of stuff, you know, possessions. You know, it might be hard to find her. It's a big house. So we'll go in there. We'll double team that. I mean, we'll both handle that one. And we'll be out with that harlot, just, and her family, at just within 20 minutes, 20, 30 tops. We'll be just in there. Maybe we'll have a bite to eat in there. Just don't come in. We'll be out. We'll get her. Trust us. We got you. And then the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. You know, that's interesting. The woman's a harlot, but it's like, she's still, it's just interesting to me that the father is there. I don't know why. Like, you know, I just assume if someone becomes a harlot, then probably parental failures, you know, like, are a part of it, maybe. Not necessarily, but probably, you know, like maybe they didn't do a great job of raising her. She turned out to be a harlot. But it's weird that the parents are still, she still likes the parents and saves them, and they're just like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah, you know, we work as grocers. Our daughter's is a whore, but you know, different careers. That's all. It's just weird. It seems like a weird situation that must have been. You know, like awkward in that little house. You know, I don't know. Anyway, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. She's still there. She's a little old. She's getting on. She still does good business. Still does gangbusters. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, you are adjured. Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame noised throughout all the country. Well, that's the end. That was great reading for today. I liked it. It's really mind blowing to think about the harlot's character in this little fairy tale story. She was rewarded by God for selling out her entire people. She seriously was partly responsible for not just the deaths of like an army, but for the deaths of every man, woman, and child that lived there. But it's fine because she saved her family, so that's cool. Like, I don't think a decent person could ever recover from something like that. That's ridiculous. Yet this book, and in the commentary, she's lauded as like a hero. Her character is an example of how even a whore can still make things right with the Lord by being responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent people. It's awesome. It's good. It's a good message. Good message. Good moral book we got here. Yeah, that's it. So thank you guys very much for listening as usual. Thank you very much for those kind reviews. Please write more. I appreciate it a lot. Haven't done a plug for my other podcast, F This Podcast, in a while. I think that one's just getting funnier and funnier. Like I said, it's definitely crude humor. Crude humor. You know, it's not, if that's not your thing, you know, I don't. That's cool. Don't bother. But it's funny. I think it's very funny. We make a lot of good observations about society and stuff, and there's some good religious stuff in there too. So if you want to check that out, please do, and review it and review this podcast, and thanks a lot, and see you next week. Bye.